more important than those things that sometimes that we think that are important. And like Pastor Chris said, we were declaring love since the beginning of this year. That's our, his banner over us is love. That is our motto for this year, to love with everything that is in us. But we are desiring to see God move, not only in our house and our community, but it's going to take the people of God that is going to separate ourselves, hallelujah, and say, God, we want to move like never before, hallelujah. And so we need a corporate body coming together, waiting on him, hallelujah. So that is our heart. And guess what? Well, it's not Palm Sunday, it's Palm Saturday. And you all know the story, right? Jesus' triumphal entry, hallelujah. Listen, these palm branches are significant. They weighed them in his entry into the city, hallelujah. They were declaring a king was coming in their midst, hallelujah. Riding on a colt, on a donkey that has never been sat upon before. And God had need of him. He said, go loose that colt. Bring him to me. Hallelujah. I have need of him. Listen, if Jesus would have entered the city on a horse, he would have met war. Like it was, he's a war general. But he rode in on a lovely colt, on a donkey, which means he brought peace. Hallelujah. And the people cast their garments down. They cast palm branches down for their king. Hallelujah. They declared, Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Stand with me. Can you say Hosanna? Hallelujah. God with us. Hallelujah. They were declaring their king. Declaring, this is the king. This is the king. So, Father, we come before you tonight. And we just settle ourselves, Lord God. And we just say thank you for what you did. You have been the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Hallelujah. You are God over all. Hallelujah. And Father, we lay down tonight everything that is so heavenly burdened, that you, Father God, will be Lord over all. Hallelujah. We thank you. We worship you. We praise you. Father, you are such a good God. Give them your all tonight, church. Give them your all. Hallelujah. Worship him with spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. Because he is our King. There is nothing that our God does not desire to give us, to help us through, to minister to our hearts, hallelujah. So we say thank you tonight, Jesus. Thank you. As we prepare this holy week, Father God, and as we begin to give up some of those things that are important to us, Lord God, that you will pour back into us, Lord God. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Greet someone or say hi to someone and worship.
Holy Spirit, take my hand now. Lead me out in the living waters. You're the wellspring. You're the stirring. You're the life for your sons and daughters. Eyes are open to the unseen. And my faith is rising within me. Bless the Lord now, sing it out loud. Come and give the Lord his glory. You're calling me deeper, deeper still. You're calling me deeper, deeper still. So I'm going deeper, deeper still. Into your love, because your love keeps going. Deeper, deeper still. You're calling me deeper, deeper still. So I'm going deeper, deeper still. Into your love, into your love. Eyes are open to the unseen. And my faith is rising within me. Bless the Lord now. Sing it out loud. If you're open, eyes are open to the unseen, and my faith is rising within me. Bless the Lord now, sing it out loud. Give your hands, give the Lord his glory. You're calling me deeper, deeper still. You're calling me deeper, deeper still. So
Doing tonight? Oh, I believe that. That was good. Sounds like you're doing good. Just want to welcome everyone tonight and just encourage you to keep on praising God.
Call my name, and I ran out of that grave.
call my name. I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. You call my name. Needed rescue, my sin was heavy. Chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open. 'Cause when you my name, I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. You call my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day.
Your love, your goodness, Lord, your righteousness, I want to sing.
song of your faithfulness, the song of your grace, and of your love and kindness, to the glory of your name. With everything that's in me, Lord, listen to me say, I want to sing a song for you, a song of your faithfulness, a song of your faithfulness, a song of your grace, your love, your love and kindness, and the glory of your name. With everything that's in me, Lord, listen to me say, I want to sing a song for you, I want to sing a song. Holy, 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 we'll shout holy, holy, are you Lord Almighty? We sing holy, 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 we sing holy. Shout holy, holy, are you Lord Almighty? We sing holy. We sing holy, holy, holy. We sing holy, holy, holy. We shout holy, holy, are you Lord Almighty?
Victory, I'm gonna see your victory, for
put the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. Turn it for good. You went the enemy meant for evil, you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You ain't what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good, and you turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good, you turn it for good. I'm gonna see your victory, I'm gonna see your victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see your victory. I'm gonna see your victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see your victory. I'm gonna see your victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. Yeah. I'm gonna see your victory. I'm gonna see your victory. Take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good.
Come on, yeah.
You turn it for good.
Come on, lift up your voice, whatever it might be. Hallelujah.
You take what the enemy meant for evil, and
come
you
on,
turn it
strong.
For good.
Stand upon your word.
Turn it for good.
Come on, he's turning it right now. Come on, declare it tonight.
You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good.
song unto God. Sing a song out of the heart. Hallelujah. Oh, you're worthy, God. You're worthy, Lord. You're worthy. There's none like you. There's none like you, Lord. Oh, you're so worthy, God. Shout unto God. Give Him praise. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. The battle belongs to the Lord. Amen. Come on. Somebody shout to God. Somebody give Him praise. Hallelujah. He's worthy. He's worthy. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. He's turning it. He's turning it. He's turning it. Come on. I want you to know. Listen. I want you to hear this. For God to turn it, it means we got to release it. For God to turn it, you got to release it. Come on, no matter whatever that might be, whatever that heaviness, whatever that might be in your life, right here, right now. Come on, I'm here to tell you tonight, it's by faith that we believe, that we release it. God, I give it to you. I give it to you. Say, I give it to you, Father God, right here, right now. Come on, we're in the midst of worship. Come on, it's by faith we believe, we release it right now to Him. Whatever sickness, whatever's depression, whatever that thing might be in our lives, I'm releasing it to God right here. Come on, amen. Come on, hallelujah. Thank Jesus, hallelujah. God bless you. Amen. Give Him praise one more time. Hallelujah. Shout to God. Oh, hallelujah. Don't be ashamed of the Lord. He's not ashamed of you. Hallelujah. Shout to God. Shout to God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Come on, you may be seated. Bless you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Children, you may go to their classes, catch their teachers. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. Hallelujah. 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 Challenge the people on Wednesday night. I told them that what would my life look any different if I was desperate for a miracle than it does right now? I'm going to say it again. Would my life look any different, my desperation for God, if I needed a miracle? Would my desperation change? I hope it stays the same. I hope I'm desperate for God no matter what, whether I need a miracle right now, come on, amen, or no matter what it is, that we stay desperate for God. Amen. That, listen, I want you to know that it's like I breathe the breath that I need. I'm desperate for God like the air that I breathe, hallelujah, and the water that I drink. I'm desperate for my heart to beat, amen, no matter what it might be. Come on. I'm desperate for the air that I breathe, or the food that I eat. Come on. I'm desperate for God. We need to be desperate for God that same way. Come on, amen. It's because of God that I'm alive. It's because of God that He's called me out of darkness, that I'm not blinded, but I can see. Can you see tonight? Come on. Can you see? Are your eyes open, hallelujah, to God's love, to His amazing mercy, to His kindness, to who He is? I pray tonight that you're quickened. Thank you, young lady. She raised her hand and says, yeah, I am, hallelujah. Come on. I'm desperate for God. Hungry for more of the Lord. Listen, I'm going to read the scripture to you. It says, my son, my daughter, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For there lie life into those that find them. Health to your flesh.
It's like medicine. God says, my words are like medicine. It's like medicine to your bones, to your flesh. That whatever answer that you're desperate for, I'm here to tell you, God has the answer. Jesus Christ is the Word become flesh. Amen. He is this Word, hallelujah, that was revealed to us. Then now I don't have to just read about it, hallelujah. But now I want you to know that that Word comes alive. It's alive within me. That Word is Christ alive within me. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Say the hope of glory. The hope of glory. Amen. I'm dying. Sorry. Praise amongst yourself for a moment. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I just want to stay in that place of worship for a second. I really do. I just feel that God's just quickening hearts. I just really feel that we got to be in a place really to hear what God's saying. I want you to know that I got a message tonight, hallelujah, that to declare to you that you're giant killers, amen? Come on, you're giant killers, amen? Tell your neighbor you're a giant killer. Come on, amen? You might not feel like it right now, but I'm going to encourage you tonight. You're a giant killer. Hallelujah. You are meant to kill giants. Amen. You're not meant to let them walk on you. Hallelujah. You're not meant to let them intimidate you. You might have a different giant than I got, but we got some giants that we face. Sometimes they're big giants. Sometimes whatever. Sometimes you might face. But I want you to know that I might not be battling a giant right now, but you might be. Come on, amen. You might be. My brothers and sisters, we got to encourage one another. You're a giant killer. You're not meant to be walked on, talked on, discouraged, talked down to, pushed back on, bullied by. Hallelujah. But you are the child of the Most High God. You are children of God. Are you a child of God? Claim it in Jesus' name. Come on, declare it. Hallelujah. I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. I'm a child of God. That's the first victory of understanding that we're giant killers. Giant killers. I want you to know the enemy does not want you to know the power and the authority that you have in his name. Hallelujah. But by faith, we're believing and receiving what he did for me. I'm taking hold of everything that Jesus did for me on Calvary. I'm here to tell you there's some that what he did for me. If you begin to take hold of it and believe, we've been talking about how that we understand it, we process it. Say process. It's how you think about things. Because every one of you got life. Say life happens. You can fill in the blanks. Sometimes things happen to you. Sometimes whatever that might be that comes your way. Life happens. But I want you to know that, listen, we got to understand something. That no matter what we're facing, we got to realize who we are, God. We got to realize that God's love for us is intense. It hasn't changed, hallelujah. It's the same love, hallelujah. It's the same love that sent his son today, right here, that I can embrace and believe in, that can cause me to get up and cause me to run, hallelujah. It is resurrection life that he has given to me. I have hope, I have purpose. You have resurrection. He's the same. Tell someone he's the same. Yesterday. I said he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. The same ministry miracles that Jesus had yesterday, I'm here to tell you, they're working today, hallelujah, because he's the same. He heals, hallelujah. He resurrects those that are dead. He speaks to those that are in darkness. And you feel like there's no hope. You feel like your walls are bigger, hallelujah. Feel like your walls surround you, that you have no purpose, there's nothing. I'm here to tell you, you have resurrection power in you. He's the same God that does miracles right here, right now. I am boldly declaring he's a God of miracles today. Today. Come on, say today. Come on, I want you to know I'm here to tell you that we were like Gideon. I believe that people this day, right now, are like Gideon and saying, where are the miracles, brother? Where are the miracles? Where are the miracles that he did for them? Where are the miracles? He's the same God. He's the same God. He desires, but he's looking for some vessels to be the carriers of his glory. Hallelujah. To be the carriers that believe. Hallelujah. That are willing to stand up. that are willing to believe with every fiber, that are fully persuaded, hallelujah, like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's looking for some like David that are fully persuaded. And no matter what they face, that God they serve never fails them. There's things we face, but God's stirring up people. I want to be part of that people. That's determined. With no reservation. No limitations. No restrictions. Letting it all go. Hallelujah. Say, here I am, God. Here's my house. Sweep it out. Sweep it out. Sweep it out. Hallelujah. Whatever is hindering, whatever's holding you back, hallelujah, from having place right here, I say, sweep it out, God. Sweep it out of my heart right here. I say to me, sweep it out, whatever that might be. Sometimes there's unforgiveness that holds back those things. Sometimes there's things that hold back that miracles or prayers that happen in our life. It's because we hold back from letting Him have complete lordship of my life. Every area. I want you to know that God, see, because He loves you so much. He knows what you need, and it's Him. He knows what you need, and it's Him. He knows what you need. He's created you with this void within you, and it's Him. Tell your neighbor, it's Him. It's Him. You feel it? I'm here to tell you, I'm going to save you some time. I'm going to save you some time. It's Jesus. The answer for everything that you're facing is Jesus. Say everything. Everything. Thank you, praise team. Come on, give God glory. I pray that you can grab hold of some of these. I know we talked about this in 1 Samuel. I want to read this to you. Hopefully I can get through this two whole chapters. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Father God, we just ask the God, Lord, that you just lead us. You guide us. I pray for hearts, revelation, and understanding in the light of who you are within us by what you did at Calvary. I pray that our eyes be open in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel 16, I just want you to catch this and understand what we've been talking about. And I want to make something clear to you. Amen? That, listen, I talked to you about that Saul always, it represented the soulless realm, the fleshly realm that wasn't going to reign. Say, it's not going to reign. But that David, which symbolizes the Christ nature, is going to reign. Amen? He's Lord. Amen? He is Lord. That you know what wants to reign in your life is that old nature. Help me, someone. Because I don't know about you, but like Paul said, that sometimes it's the things that I want to do, I don't do, and the things that I do, I don't do. Whatever it might be, whatever those things are, sometimes tell someone it's a struggle sometimes. But I want you to know the victory has already been won. Tell your neighbor. You don't have two natures. You have one nature. It is a new nature. It's Christ. The problem is you have a memory problem. Sometimes what we do is we remember the things of the past, of our old nature, of who we used to be. Say the old man. But I want you to know, see, that old nature speaks of disobedience, speaks of pride. See, Saul was a symbol of pride, arrogance. He tried to be a ruler and take usurp authority in his own name and not in the name of God. He tried to be in control, stay in control. How many of you like things in control? That, man, whenever you feel like you got to relinquish your control, husbands or wives, come on. Sometimes you feel like you got to relinquish your control to whatever that might be, to some authority above or whatever that leadership might be. Sometimes it's hard. See, our old nature really doesn't like to do that. It doesn't want to relinquish that. So that just speaks of that old nature where it's arrogant. It tries to. I'm here to tell you that old nature will get you in trouble. The problems that we face in life are bound because of that old sin nature that we no longer have, but we have a memory of it. But I'm here to tell you, give you a new nose. New nose. I want you all to have a new nose tonight. Some of you might want that, but I want you to give you good news. That Jesus Christ, hallelujah, we have victory in His name. We have victory in His name. Every answer that we need is in the Word, is in what He says, who He is Christ Jesus. Amen? So as we begin to process things in our life, that we process it through the cross, through the resurrection, through the power. That gives us, you know, that's the difference between our religion and anybody other religion. See, if we just preach our religion, it's just a philosophy. A lot of the things are comparable, but here's the difference. Tell your neighbor, here's the difference. Our Savior rose from the dead. He's not dead. Tell your neighbor he's not dead. Listen, shout it across the room because I'm not sure everybody here knows it. Shout it to them. He's alive. Come on. Tell everybody that is watching, he's alive. Hallelujah. That's the difference. I want you to know that's what makes our walk with God powerful, is because he's alive. I have that resurrection life within me now. Not someday. Hallelujah. But today. Hallelujah. Why? Because I am called to slay giants. I'm going to get you believing by the end. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on. Amen. He said, but we could find that Samuel. It says, and how long was Samuel? How long will you mourn? See, Samuel was mourning because Saul wasn't king. Sometimes we mourn because we don't get what we want to in our flesh. But I'm telling you, listen. He said, I'm telling you, Samuel, Saul's not going to reign. And he says, I have rejected him from reigning over Israel. He says, fill up your horn. Tell someone, fill up your horn. He says, and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for me a king. I have provided for me a king. I want you to catch this, that what he's provided himself for is good enough for you. What he's provided, I want you to know that I'm here to tell you that the God that we serve, that we have to trust to know that what he says is good for you. And what he's provided for you is good for you through Jesus Christ. It's enough. It's all that I need. It's in him. He's provided a king, and we could see the symbolic meaning of Christ right here. He's given us the king. Amen? He says, but that Saul was, what he provided was is enough. It's enough. It's enough. But that old, oh, that old nature, that Saul is selfish. It's prideful. It's fearful. It's angry. It's impatient. It's arrogant. It rejoices in lies. Boy, that sounds like the opposite of love that we've been talking about. Amen? So he says, and Samuel said, doesn't this not sound like us? I don't know. The word, I want you to know that the word of God, sometimes we read it, but I want you to know it when it reads you. Tell someone, let the word read you. Let it read you. Let it read your heart. And he says this. He says, and Samuel said, how can I go if Saul hear it? He'll kill me. Sometimes we're worried about how our flesh will feel about it. Sometimes we're worried about whether or not our flesh is going to get angry if we don't try to satisfy it, if we don't fulfill it, if we don't obey. And this is how we kill the flesh. This is how we solve the problem. Say, solve the problem. Here's what he said. He says, take a heifer with you. And say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. I want you to know that worship changes everything. Worship will cause your flesh to submit to the Spirit. Worship will cause your flesh, because listen, sometimes it's your flesh that, sometimes your flesh, the soulless realm says, really? Do I got to go to church, or do I feel like doing this, or do I want to do this, or this is too hard for me? Have you ever felt like, don't you have to raise your hands, but sometimes it might feel like that, oh, this is too hard. But he says this, he says, bring a sacrifice, hallelujah. Don't worry about Saul. This will be the answer to it. Worship is an answer to releasing you from the bonds of flesh. Begin to worship. Begin to lift up his name. With all your might, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. I'm here to tell you something, that not every part of you wants to worship God. So I want you to know, as we journey with God, we find out that our soulless realm sometimes becomes impatient. Sometimes becomes negligent. Sometimes it gets carried away. Sometimes it feels like it is warranted something, or feels like it just because you come to church, you attend, you have an attendance card, and you fill it out every week that you come, that you are owed something to you. That's not how we kill giants. But he said this, he says, and call Jesse to sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him whom thy name unto me, that you anoint a king. Listen, I want everybody to get this and understand something, that in every one of us is a prophet. And we can declare one way or another in our lives. And we speak things that are truth or lies to ourselves. You yourself are your greatest prophet more than anybody else. You are your greatest prophet. You could speak life or death. Listen, I want you to know that, see, you are your greatest prophet because you have communication with you night and day, 24/7, that you can speak life into you, hallelujah, that we are to speak life, the word of God, into our life, that we declare, hallelujah, life, declare life unto us. Speak health into your bones. Come on, amen. We've got to begin to declare that. Some people say, well, I don't see anything, this and that. Are you abiding in the word? The Bible says, if you abide in me, Jesus says, if you abide in me, I will abide in you. Are we abiding in his word? That we abide in his word, that we don't move to the left or right, and that word that I speak over my life, that I can't make someone else responsible to speak in my life, because a lot of times people will speak things that aren't true about you. So many times we listen to that. But we need to speak over our lives the word of God. That's what giant killers do. They speak God's word over their lives. They speak victory to things that are unseen. They speak to the seen realm. They bring out of the unseen to the seen realm. Hallelujah. They speak health upon their bones, upon their family, their finances, whatever that might be in their life. They speak it over their families, over their priests. They declare it. They declare it. They speak it. So he's declaring something. He's saying, Samuel, he says, you got to go anoint the king. I want you to know that every one of us, we have to anoint Christ in our lives as Lord. He doesn't take that place without us receiving. Say he receives. That I receive Christ into my heart as my Savior, as Lord. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you shall be saved. So there's a confession. There's a declaration that I make. There's an anointing that I say that comes. Say, come, Lord Jesus. The Bible says that David declared that open up your gates. Let the King of glory come in. Open up your gates. That you are the gates, hallelujah, for heaven to come into. To abide. Say abide. To make place in your life. To make a habitation. Heaven on earth. Right here. The abode of the Father with me. So I want you to catch this. I want you to realize this. That he wants us to anoint. So Samuel was to anoint David king. And he struggled with it. Because listen, even sometimes just like us. What do you mean? I don't want to struggle with that. Yeah, we do. That God wants every place of our heart. I've been declaring at the end of every service that God's knocking, open up and let him in. That there's deep places in our heart that sometimes I don't let others in. But God wants in every area of our lives so that we can have victory over every area. Whatever that might be. Whether that's pride, whether it's unforgiveness, whether it's things in the past, whether it's pains, whatever it might be. Brokenness. Weariness. Every area God wants to touch. He wants to come in. Tell your neighbor he wants to come in. He wants to make place in every place of my heart. And he says, but we struggle sometimes. We letting him be Lord because we like to be Lord. We like to be in control. But God wants us to be at a place of surrender. We say yes to him. So David, so So here they go and they line up all these sons. He says, go line up these sons. So they line up all these sons and they don't bring David. They bring all the seven brothers. Have you ever been forgotten? Come on. Ever felt like you've been forgotten? I'm going to tell you tonight what giant killers do, even though they might be forgotten. Even though they might have an excuse to be mad or be angry or to give up or to quit. This is what giant killers do. But before that, Samuel had to come to a conclusion to understand, because the first one he came to, that's him. See, man, he met the first brother and he was big, he was tall, he was built, he was cut, he was chiseled. Kind of like my guys here, chiseled, tough, big guys. And the first thing he said is, this is the one, this is the one, this is the one. And he went through these different brothers, and everyone he sees, he says, all right, this has got to be it. And every time he did, God spoke to his heart, and he says, no, it's not about the outside, hallelujah. I don't look at the countenance on the outside, but what's in a man's heart. It's what's in your heart. The Bible says that we walk by faith, not by sight. See, I want you to know that giant killers walk by faith and not sight. Not by what they see, not by the realm on the outside, but they walk with the power and the authority on the inside, not the outside. They walk by faith, understanding that what God has deposited in them is greater than that thing that's on the outside of them. Because sometimes life speaks louder. You can't let it speak louder than what's in you. I'm going to say it again. You cannot let life speak louder than the truth of God that's in you. We cannot. We cannot let that voice. You need to prophesy. Prophesy, prophesy truth over who you are in your life. We wonder why some giants don't fall. We need to prophesy truth in our life of who we are. We can't back down to whatever comes against us, but we got to know who we are. I am a child of the Most High God. He doesn't forget me. When things come against me, I cannot turn and run. I need to know that God doesn't forget me. God's faithful. God's always with me. He always leads me. I don't go by sight, but I go by faith. Tell your neighbor you're equipped. Hallelujah. You're equipped. You're ready for warfare. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, so finally David is made king. After Samuel realizes it's not by the outside, but faith. It's by faith that comes by believing. So all of a sudden he anoints David as king. He dumps the oil upon his head. And all of a sudden they began to walk. We could take this and we can use this as an example to every one of us, so we could see that this is walking in the Spirit, that this is representation, this is powerful, being led by the Spirit, the King that's within me. What does this look like? The power of this. And the first thing that David does is he goes back to where he got called from. Where was he called from? He was tending the sheep to a father that forgot about him. Say faithful. Listen, I want you to know that so many times we feel like you've been forsaken, you feel like that God hasn't been there for you. And David was faithful to what God had called him to do, that position that his father called him to be in. He was faithful in that place. There's so many times that we have to be careful not to become bitter in the things that we go through. But you need to be faithful. I want to be a faithful servant. I want to be at a place where that I trust God through no matter what. I want to be fully persuaded that no matter what comes my way, He's mightier in me. That His love for me is greater. See, I want you to know, this is why I'm so desperate for us to know what love looks like. Because if you don't know what this looks like, you don't know what God looks like towards you. That He doesn't forsake you. That He only thinks truth about you, not lies. But He believes in you in everything. He's faithful. He's not self-seeking. He's not easily angered. He keeps no records of wrongs. He does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. He believes in you and no one else does. He believes in you when nobody else does. Doesn't matter. Sometimes there's family members that don't believe in you. I'm here to tell you, he's faithful. Giants killers believe what the Father says about them. No matter what happens. I'm here to say it again, that no matter what, they believe what the Father says about them. That's what giant killers do. So David was at that place, that he was staying in that place. He could have jumped up and said, look who I am, look what I got. But no, he was faithful what God called him to do. Sometimes nobody might see what you're doing. You might be just, whatever that might be, that you feel like you're just that. You're not just that. You're more than that. God created you special. God created you for a problem to solve. He's the creator. That no matter what that might be, that listen, somebody created us because a guy couldn't see. It was created with purpose. Look to your neighbor, that God, who's your creator, you're his workmanship, you were created to solve a problem, hallelujah, in the earth. Listen, I want you to hear that. You were created to solve a problem, hallelujah, on God's behalf in the earth. Christ in you, the hope of glory. For the goodness of God to be revealed. There's a problem that needs solved, that God is using you to solve it. There's a hurting person out there that's lost, that's broken, that God's waiting for you to stand up to believe who you are. To be in a place where we almost, I don't feel alone, but I know who I am. That no matter what anybody else does, I know what God thinks about me. He's faithful. That we be like Christ as the example. That we walk, that everybody walked away from. Everybody left him. He turned away and he hung on the cross broken and hurting. Well, his mom was there. John was there. But if everybody else deserted him, he was still faithful to the end. Faithful. Because he knew who he was, and he knew where he was going, and he knew the purpose that he had. Amen? Are you okay? All right, you ready to get started? So here we go. It says, so they took it and anointed him. It says, I'm not going to, this verse here, we can see that, listen, that worshippers, I'm not. I can get preach a whole mess on that. Let's go to chapter 17:1. Amen. Come on, tell us. Say, help him, Lord. I want to help you tonight. I want to help every one of us. I want to help me. Amen. I want us to walk in victory. I believe with childlike faith what God says. I want to be at that place. I want to believe it whole. I want to believe it like I read it like. My mother said it to me. How about you? But how many times has your mother said something to you and you just took it at heart? They come up to you. Hey, mom, look at this. I want this. Or my daughter would come to me and says, Dad, I really want this. Okay, listen, I get my check at the end of the weekend. I'll get it to you. And she walked away and said, okay. She'll come to me again because why? She knows that I said that. She agrees with me believing what I said. I mean, guys, listen, that's what God wants us to be at. That's where God wants us to be, that we're like children. We believe him and trust him no matter what. Amen. That we have faith in him. So he says, so the Philistines gathered together in armies to battle and gathered together in Sochoh, which belongs to Judah. And they pitched between Sochoh and Eschah and Ephesidamon. I want you to hear these. These are some pretty cool words, but there's something powerful in this. I want us to understand this. I don't want to miss these parts because everything, I pray that it comes alive in your hearts right here tonight. It's powerful. I want you to know that the enemies are willing to gather together, say together, to come against us. And the problem is they find our weakness because we don't come together. Because sometimes we don't come in unity, we come divided. And when the enemy can divide you, when the enemy can separate you, come on, when he can separate you from your friends, from your family, from your body, when he gets you apart, I want you to know what happens when you're severed from the body. Tell your neighbor you die. See, when you become separated, he wants you to separate you from the body.
He wants to separate you from the head. If he could get you away from the body, hallelujah, he could begin to manipulate. So the enemy knows this, but if we come together, say we come together, if we begin to gather together, come in unity and in oneness with one another, there's strength within that. Whew. I'm going to tell you, that looks like love to me. See, the enemy's threatened when the body of Christ comes together as one body. One body. And we begin to march in one order, according to one, by faith, believing. Whew. Say it's dangerous. That's a lion. That is a lion killer. That is a bear killer. And that's a giant killer right there. But I want you to see that there's something powerful about the place where they were. They were between two mountains and they were in a valley. There were two kingdoms. And they were in the middle of it. There was a battle going on. But they didn't recognize where they were. I want you to know that we need to recognize where we are, what we have. We cannot let it go past what God has done for us and what we have by His authority. For us to be mighty and powerful, we got to know that, who we are. Am I making sense? He says, in Saul, the men of Israel gathered together and they pitched in the valley. And the Philistines stood there on one side of the mountain and they were on the other side. And there was a valley in between. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath, Gath, whose height was 6 feet or 6 cubits, which meant nine feet tall. That's a big boy. I want you to see something. I want you to know that here's the difference. I want you to understand that you cannot be a giant killer by recognizing and paying attention and focusing on the enemy. See, because that's what they did. They began to let everything about them, they were looking on the outside, they were letting what controlled them begin to cause fear on the inside. See, because immediately as they were watching, they began to talk about it. They began to speak about it. And one to another, as it began to go through all the tribe, all the ones, he's big, he's huge. I've never seen a giant this big. His helmet is so big. His shield is this big. And fear began to move in the camp. Their focus was on a giant. He got bigger. I bet you by the time it got to the end of the line, he was bigger than 9 feet tall. The enemy become exaggerated by untruths, by a lie, not on the truth of who they are. Amen? That's how we don't fight our giants. But they were scared. And it says, in the words of the Philistines, it says, and Saul and the Israel heard the words. They heard the words. They heard the word of the enemy. They heard the word of the enemy. They heard the word of the enemy. I want you to know that this is what we can't do. We cannot pay attention to what the enemy is saying, but I need to hear what God's saying. I need to have my ear turned to Him. I want you to know that my sheep know my voice. They know my voice. And when the enemy speaks, they don't recognize it because they only know my voice. I want to know His voice and no other voice. I want to know the voice that speaks to me. I want to know that's true. Because I know what love looks like. I know what my Father, I know how He talks about me. I know how He thinks about me. I know how valuable I am to Him. I know how worthy I am to Him. I know how powerful I am in His might, in His sight, who I am. I believe it. I know what He thinks about me. Hallelujah. So listen, so for 40 days, see 40 days. See, in verse 16, it says the Philistines, they said, they were taunting them. The Philistines drew near morning and evening and presented him themselves 40 days. And for every morning, every night. Sometimes it feels like there's a giant before you every day and every night. I pray that I'm speaking. I hope that I'm speaking to somebody here tonight, right here, whether it's online, whatever it might be, that there's things that you might be facing or thinking in your mind, you're facing them every day that's taunting you. That is coming against you. I want you to get victory here tonight. Because you're not meant to be taunted like that. But you're meant to know who you are. So I want you to know that as they were at that place, they were intimidated by this giant that was before him. But there came a guy named David, hallelujah, that was stirred, that came to this place. He wasn't looking for a fight, but he showed up there and he was ready for a fight because he knew who he was. Because he was anointed. He was in communion with the Father. He knew what the Father thought about him. And it says, and he talked, he says, and they talked, behold, there came the champion, the Philistine, Goliath, by name, and the armies of the Philistines, and they spoke according to the same words. And David heard them. Say, uh-oh. See, David heard them. And David spoke to the men that stood by him, saying this, I want you to know, all they talked about was the giant. But David began to talk about his God. See, I want you to know that everybody there wasn't talking about what David, but David didn't worry about what anybody else. Come on, it might seem like you're talking something different than anybody else because everybody's focused on the giants and all these things. What are you, stupid? Why aren't you fearful? Why aren't you afraid? But he's standing there saying, I just want to talk about my God. Hallelujah. I want to talk about who he is. You know why? Because when he walked on the scene, he was reminded of the place that he was at. Whew. And it's called Ephesdemum. And what it meant was, on both sides of the mountain, that place was called Boundary of Blood Droplets. I don't know, you don't realize that how powerful that might be, but it's powerful because he recognized something. He had a revelation of realizing that there was a sacrifice that was made, that he was protected, hallelujah, that he was in that protection because of the blood. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony, I'll overcome. See, David walked on the scene with an information greater, hallelujah, powerful. He was charged on the inside about the God that was with him. He was reminded that it was by the blood that they had a covenant connection with a heavenly Father that would not desert them, that was going to be there for them. That the enemy would have to pass over, say Passover. That sin would have to pass over, that they were going to abide in a relationship with the Father. See, Jesus says that I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Under the protection of a Father that loves me. I want to stir you. I want you to recognize we're not meant to fear giants. We're meant to destroy them. We're meant to knock them down. You might be bullied. I'm bold to tell you that, listen, I'm tired of seeing sons and daughters of God be pushed around like David was. I want to be like David, where you stand on the scene that everybody can say, no, I want to remind you who you are. Hallelujah. Do you know who you are? You are the child of the Most High God. And God loves you. And God's faithful. He won't desert you. Come on, hallelujah. You can come up. Hallelujah. Listen. David stood in the valley. It says, boundary of blood drops. We are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. 1 Peter 1:5. Say kept. There's a provision provided for us in him that nothing else can protect us like him. It says, and David said, what have I now to do? Is there not a reason? Is there not a cause? I want you to catch this as they come up. Well, everybody was in that place. They were watching what the enemy was doing. David was in the shepherd's fields watching what the Father was doing. Had his eyes on the Father's business. Say he's about the Father's business. He wasn't worried about anybody else. He wasn't doing any risky business. He wasn't worried about anything else, but he was worried about the Father. He was concerned about what the Father had. Kind of remind me that Jesus, whether Jesus was at that place of temptation where for 40 days they were being tempted here, the children of Israel. And Jesus, as Jesus was sitting right before, as he was praying before the crucifixion, before his passion, he tells his disciples, he says, pray that you don't fall into temptation. Pray. Stay in this communion. Stay in this oneness with the Father. Stay in this oneness with Him. Don't let yourself be separated by anything else, because some things are going to come your way that are trying to disrupt you. They'll try to knock you off your feet that are coming before you, but I'm here to tell you, pray. And heed the word. Come into a place of communion with the Father. Come into a place of openness and oneness with Him. David was at that place. He was concerned. He was at that place of relationship. I want you to know that, see, this is why David was able to face this giant when everybody else was running. David, the Bible says that David, he ran. Say he ran. He got tired of the enemy talking. How long are we going to let the enemy bully us or talk to us? We need to turn our ears off and hear what God's saying. I need to turn my ears to what God's saying about me. See, the enemy, David ran after Goliath. He wasn't intimidated. You know why? Listen. I want you to see this. I pray this helps you right here. David wrote this. I believe that he wrote this in this place of being a shepherd, where he felt like you might have felt isolated. You might feel like you're by yourself. I want you to know that it's those moments that sometimes that God's building up your faith. Be encouraged. Be strengthened. Let God renew your heart. Turn your ear to Him. When you feel like God's not listening, press harder. Press in even closer. Press in. Tell someone, press in. Press in. Press in. Press in. Because sometimes it's your flesh that don't want to get through. But you got to press in. You got to get beyond all that other, the noise. You got to get beyond all that stuff and reach for what's more important than anything else. We're going to live our lives like we're desperate for a miracle. Not when I need one, but before I need one. I want to live my life like that. Because you know why? Because you might need a miracle. Or you might need, whatever that might be. Somebody, we need to stand, be at that place where I'm living my life as if I'm living for a miracle. So David, he said this. This is why he was able to go up against the enemy. The Lord is my shepherd. And as he reached into the bag, hallelujah. As he reached into that bag and the stones that to everybody else looked foolish, he took hold of the word of the Father, hallelujah. He believed what the Father said, that I am your shepherd. You shall not want, David. He took it to heart. I read this word like God's talking to me, that I believe it like God's saying it right to me, that we take hold of it for our lives. Like David did. That's what giant killers do. They believe it as if God's talking to them, which He is. He said this, shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He's the God of covenant. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. I want you to know that God leads you in paths of righteousness, not for you to be forsaken, but for His name's sake, so that others, as you stand in that place of faithfulness, that God gets the glory. See, David knew that he knew that God led him down this path. God brought him there to face a giant, not to be defeated, but that God would get the glory. That God would get the glory. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. They guide me and they protect me. Though thou preparest the table for me in the presence of my enemies, thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup, stand to your feet, my cup, say my cup runs over. Listen, I want you to know that God wants us to live in abundance. He wants us to live in abundance. Overflow. 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 So that the God within you overflows to those that need a miracle. I want you to know that Jesus was the overflow from heaven. And no matter what somebody might need, if someone was desperate, they pressed through to the overflow from heaven. God's looking for some people that are willing to be the overflow from heaven to release His goodness, His mercy, His glory in the earth. To partner with who He is, to believe in what He says, to stand in it, not to be moved, not to be shaken by it, to pull down anything that tries to exalt itself, whether it be cancer, whether it be sickness, whether it be disease, no matter what it might be, fear, intimidation, that it pulls it down. Say, pull it down. I want you to help me tonight. Come on, we got to pull it down. Pull it down. Don't let it stay. Don't let it stay. We don't give any place to the enemy. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Woo! I want you to know that David wrote that in a lonely season. Of a season where he didn't feel like anybody. I want you to know he pulled it out, hallelujah, to knock down a giant. He pulled it out, hallelujah, to have the faith to stand up and watch that giant fall before him and cut off his head. Never, never to be intimidated by a giant again. You're giant killers. Believe what God says you are. Let's worship God. Come on. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Yes, Lord. Pray right now, strength.
Hallelujah.
anybody right now, hallelujah, right where you're at, you could be right where you're at, but I just want you to lift up your hands. I really feel this right now, that we've just come against the spirit of suicide right now, hallelujah. I want you to know the enemy would try to get you to take your life. He's trying to get you to lose your life because you're valuable. You're valuable. I'm not just speaking to this Joshua right now, hallelujah, but I'm talking to all of you out there, that there's some of you that debated with it right here, the sound of my voice, and I declare I come against it, I come against it, I come against it, I come against it, right now in Jesus' name. Keep going, hallelujah. Loosen it from him, God.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come fill this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what I
temple of the Most High God. When you receive Him as Lord, it gives Him right, gives Him authority. Nothing else has right or place to take hold of that place, to usurp any authority. Has to leave. Has to leave.
Spirit of suicide, depression, whatever that is, can't stay, can't stay, can't stay. Says we fill up as we receive it and believe it by faith. Just receive it, hallelujah. Just take hold of it. Just take hold of it. Just stand in it. Just believe it and know it, hallelujah. We thank you, Holy Spirit. I pray to God, Lord, for an infilling right here, right now. Fill your people, God. Lord, fill your people right now. Lord, you said that we receive it. We receive a filling of your Spirit right now. Right here, right now, we receive it right now. Just receive it, hallelujah. A filling of the Holy Spirit, a filling of overflowing, a boldness in this house right now. Hallelujah. A boldness of the Most High. A faith, unchangeable, immovable. Right here, right now. Thank you. Your giant killers. Your giant killers. Your giant killers. And we'll declare with that that we're blessed. Highly favored. God's knocking. Open up and let him in. Hallelujah. God bless you. Bless somebody. Encourage somebody. In Jesus' name. Thank you for watching. God bless you.